Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and that pickle bar is second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and this is an absolute play-by-play classic from the voice of Iceland soccer as they win over Austria.
Elvik, 3-2, and me, Parinatein,
That's also the longest call of the day in the history of the show.
And if I ever do that, you can take me into the yard and shoot me. All right, let's bring Mike DeCourcy in, who's known me for a long time, knows I can get excited, but not to that level. Mike, it is great to have you on the show. Thanks for a few minutes. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, happy to do it, Steve.
All right, let's get to the draft and how it played out. In part, how it played out for the guys that didn't get picked, guys like a Troy Williams, a Robert Carter. They weren't expected to go until that 45 to 60 area anyway, if at all. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's probably different for Troy than it is for Robert Carter. I mean, Robert had spent 4 years in college, 1 year as a transfer, and I can understand that, you know, for Robert Carter, he's probably going to make most of his money in Europe anyway if he does that deal right. And so I can understand why you want to get it started and go make some money. And I get that. I mean, he's already been in college 4 years. Like, he's either going to graduate based on what he's done, and he maybe has a little bit left, or he's never going to graduate. And I don't know Robert's situation, but he went to two very good academic institutions, so I imagine he's probably close to getting a degree. For Troy Williams, I think it's a little different because I still think Troy had the ability to get himself drafted. And I think that he went too soon and didn't address in college the concerns that teams had about him, and so they weren't willing to invest a pick in him. Now, when Abdel Nader went off the board, and I just didn't get that at all. I found him to be a very limited player at Iowa State, and I don't know why someone would select him ahead of a Troy Williams, but in the end, Troy kind of got what might have been expected of him.
The NBA draft's a completely different animal than the NFL draft. As you watched it play out last night, you mentioned Abdel Nader being one. What made sense to you, and then what surprised you?
Well, what surprised me more than anything was Thon Maker getting selected, especially at 10. I mean, I expected him to get picked, but especially at 10, I thought that was an extreme pick, a gamble that I'm not sure has a lot of basis behind it. He's a YouTube guy. I mean, that's kind of what he is. He's avoided competition at every turn. And so I will say this. I don't know whether Thon's going to be a good NBA player or not, but I would not select a player who avoids competition for my franchise. I wouldn't do it under any circumstance. Because the best players don't do that. The best players want to play and want to learn and want to compete. And when you're pulling out of a game like the Nike Hoop Summit, You know, that says a lot to me. Dragan Bender, to an extent, I have the same concern. When you decide your shoes are more important than getting to compete against the best players your age, especially obviously the U.S., as Dragan Bender did a year ago at 19, at the FIBA U19 World Championships, pulled out because he was wearing one brand of shoes and his federation wore another. I mean, I don't want that guy. I just don't want to be anywhere near him. I don't care how skilled he is, how talented he is. I want the guy who wants to play. And, you know, back in the day when LeBron James was coming out of high school, that guy played against everybody. And when he, you know, when he's had the opportunity to play for the United States, this will be the first time that he hasn't played for the United States in the Olympics. He played in his first year, right after his rookie year. Then he was the core of the 2008 and 12 teams. That's a guy who competes. That there is no question. That's why Cleveland is just had a trophy parade the other day.
Yeah, no question. I agree with everything you said. Mike, Jay Billis obviously brought up a couple of interesting points that are at least worthy of discussion, so let's discuss it. One was, of course, we know with European players they can do draft and stash. Would draft and stash work with college players?
I would love it. I'm sure that there would be some college coaches who would find it to be a burden. But I don't really care that they think it's a burden. I mean, usually anything that's out of the norm for the college coaches in general, they don't want to deal with it. As is the case that, yeah, I had a prominent college coach. I was in Vegas last year for the summer recruiting, and I had a guy pull me aside who's a coach in a major conference who's been in the NCAA tournament, and he harangued me for a half an hour for endorsing the draft withdrawal rules that went back into place this year for the first time since 2010, I think. Because it's a pain for the coaches. They don't want to have to deal with it. They want to know who their players are going to be next year. And, you know, they're making enough money they can live with this little inconvenience. And if we added one more inconvenience wherein a guy like Jalen Reynolds could go back to Xavier or Troy Williams could go back to Indiana, I think they can live with that. I think they certainly can afford to deal with it.
Well, I completely agree with your point of view. I mean, I feel the same way. I think if football coaches would be the ones that would be a little more inconvenienced only because if they have these rules, because it's such a compressed time frame for them with National Letter of Intent Day being the first Wednesday in February, then the NFL Combine is 3 weeks later. I think they've done a great job of at least loosening up the evaluation rules that have given players a better evaluation now.
Yeah, a lot of people were applauding them for doing it, and I'm like, you fixed what you broke, so I'm not applauding.
Right.
But they did fix it, at least. They had the great rules in place in 2010, and they broke them. You know, they discarded them, so they put it back into place. Now, I'm glad, but I'm not going to applaud because they made the mistake in the first place. So let's just leave it as it is in that sense. But to be able to draft a player who has some potential, like Deontay Davis. I mean, hey, I will tell you right now that if Deontay Davis could have played another year for Tom Izzo, he would have been a lottery pick. And I don't mean just I believe that if he'd come back, that would have happened. But if he had been able to be taken last night and returned to Michigan State because there's not a team in the league that thinks he's ready to play right now, he would have been a high lottery pick because he's a great kid, really long, really athletic, a team player. Anybody would have wanted to have him on their team, and anybody would have trusted Tom Izzo with his development. But because they couldn't return him in that sense the way you can in, say, college hockey to an extent, he wasn't as appealing. And I totally agree with Jay that would be a huge step forward for basketball development.
Yeah, I think it would as well. Now, the NBA Players Association is the one that wants to stick with 1 year, 19 years of age. To you, Mike, what is the right solution? Is it, hey, out of high school, whatever option you want, or is it 1 and 19, or as the NBA owners have mentioned, 2 and 20? Is there a right solution?
out of high school would be the worst possible thing. You know, there are a lot of people who will tell you, without really thinking it through, that one and done is the worst thing that's ever happened to college basketball. I got it tweeted at me just last night while the draft was going on. And I'm like, do you remember what it was like in 2004 when guys were going out of high school into the draft, hundreds of thousands of dollars just in travel costs and man hours were wasted on recruiting players like Josh Smith and Sean Livingston and people like that who never played a game of college basketball, complete waste of time and money. And then you had those players, a lot of them, going on into the NBA and failing because they hadn't any training. It was terrible for the game at all levels. And the funny thing about that is people forget, guys still came and played only 1 year anyway. Carmelo Anthony only played 1 year. Lual Deng, Corey Maggette, lots of guys only played 1 year in college. So we had the worst of all worlds then. One and done has been great for college basketball. It's been good for the NBA as well. Would it be better at 2 years? Yes. But I think 1 year and the draft and stash deal would maybe be the best possible solution. Because the ability to draft the player who's not yet ready and then send him back to college for development, I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that would help a lot. And for the NBA, now let's talk about the NBA for a moment. You know, the one area that they do suffer from is that they, at times, it is an immature league, and that is in part because of these rules.
Yes, but without the rule, it was an even more immature league. Had guys like Andy Eby and Gerald Green and players like that who had never accomplished anything getting drafted on their high school scouting ratings for the most part. And some of them became good NBA players. LeBron James, a savant, becomes the best player ever. You know, Kobe Bryant. And we just. But when's the last time we turned out a Kobe Bryant, a player at that level? It's been a while. So you know, you can't expect those kinds of guys to come around every year, and to throw them into the greatest league in the world untrained. It's not going to work as well for them. I mean, you don't take a really bright kid out of science class and say, hey, here's a scalpel. Go do open heart surgery. But that's kind of the similar thing that you're trying to do with the NBA, and people don't understand it just doesn't work. I mean, okay, so maybe there's a genius that comes along and maybe can get through it, like LeBron James, but the genius is never in great supply.
No, it is not. And as for the coaches part of it, the evaluation, well, for the players, there were 117 that opted for this. I think 58 of them decided not to even enter the draft. Amelo Trimble, for example, goes through this. They end up with a better professional, realistic evaluation from pro evaluators that has an opportunity to make them a better player because they know what to work on and what to enhance.
Yeah, I always looked at it when I used to cover the draft process a lot more than I do now, and it was like this, and you could go into the draft and workouts and such like that. It's like a summer internship. You find out what's the real world like. What do the coaches and the scouts and the GMs want to see from you? And you get a chance to find out what you'll go through when a year from now. Then, if you come back and you take another shot at it. I mean, Melo Trimble's a good example because Melo Trimble's an NBA player, so he knows now what's expected of him, what he needs to do better, what kind of drills and those sorts of things he'll have to be prepared for when he goes back. Think of it like those of us who took the SAT back in high school. You take it the first time, it's kind of foreign to you, and you know, you may do well, or you may not, but the second time you take it, it's easier because you know what it is.
Yeah, we took the PSACT, and then we took the SAT, and we knew what the deal was at the time. There have also been 2,200 transfers, Mike, in the last 3 years. That's why when you spoke earlier about coaches like to know what they have, let's face it, they've been using this transfer thing for the last few years in the months of April and May to get guys anyway. What have been your thoughts on the number of transfers and the transfer rule itself?
I think that I'm a huge fan of the grad transfer rule as it is, and I don't have a problem with asking players to sit out a year otherwise. Some people think that anybody should be able to transfer any time. I think it's a bit chaotic, and I don't think it's in the player's best interest to be able to do that because you end up with a lot of guys who don't get degrees that way. The forced year in residence makes it easier for you to get a degree because you're taking a full load of classes. You're not having to compete. You're not having to travel. And so you can get a lot done, and then you finish a career in 5 years, and if you haven't graduated, I mean, you haven't tried at all. So I think that it's a good deal that in that way. What I would say about the supposed epidemic of transfers is Jeff Goodman does a really good job at ESPN of compiling the list of transfers every year, and there are 600 plus names on it now. Go through the list and try. You know, I cover college basketball 300 some days a year for a job, for a living, and I'm very deep into it. And I can tell you that I can go through that list, and if I can find, outside of the, maybe some of the grad transfers, if I can find regular transfers, more than two dozen, I'm impressed that I know.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of players that aren't playing for anybody, and they want to play, so they move. No problem with that.
Yeah.
It's the epidemic thing. If Goodman wasn't keeping track, nobody would say a word. Because nobody would care that there were 700. Because nobody that moves, for the most part, is an overwhelmingly significant player. I mean, they're fine young men, and they're important to their families, and they might be able to find a better deal somewhere else where they can get more playing time. But for the most part, they don't impact the game. And so for them to move and try to find a place where they can play, I don't see why that's a problem.
And when it comes to the grad transfer, what I've always said about the grad transfer is this. They have their degree. So, in other words, they got what they could get out of the school. It's okay now to maybe take a little bit extra and find out basketball-wise what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, for those who want a different experience, you know, I always relate it to my wife, who went to school where I did at Point Park University in Pittsburgh. And then when she finished up, she was working for the state, and they were willing to pay for her to get a graduate degree. And so the people at Point Park wanted her to get her grad degree there. And she decided, you know, I kind of learned what you folks had to teach me. I want to go find out and see if there's something else I can learn that other people can teach me. So she went to Duquesne, and the people at Point Park were mad. And for a little while, I mean, they got over it. They're happy with us now, but you know, they were disappointed. So you know, it's the same thing. You want to try to find out what else is out there. You've had this experience for 4 years. Maybe you don't want that experience anymore. Let's see if there's a different one. And if you do want that experience, if you want to spend your fifth year where you've been, that's great too. You can get a grad degree there. Everybody's a little different. And you should not necessarily be held to the standard of, well, because this is where you've played, this is the only place that's an option for you. You've done what they asked you to do. You've played for them for 4 years. And you've gotten a degree. Now, if that should open a door for you if you want to take it.
Yep, same thing I've said for years. Mike, always great to hear from you. Appreciate the perspective very much. It's great having high-level hoops conversations in the month of June.
You bet, Steve, anytime.
Mike DeCourcy, one of the best. The privilege of knowing Mike all these years, and it's been a privilege, believe me, to know Mike all these years. Whoa, enjoy it. That was Mike brings to the table high-level hoops conversation, right? High-level. No, nothing basic in that conversation. Nothing basic. That was high-level hoops at 20 paces there. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You, me, and Dupree the rest of the way here as we go to the top of the hour. Going to go to the bottom of the hour first and then news, and then top of the hour, we'll take open lines at 1-800-795-9565. I don't care if we talk about the draft, baseball, football, whatever it happens to be. Just give us a call. Love to hear from you. Like to hear what your opinions happen to be. If you disagree with what we've been talking about, that's fine. It's just I do believe that you have to liberalize some of the rules. They've done a better job of liberalizing some of them. I think they have to do a better job in college football. The problem is the clock in college football. There is no early signing period. And the fact that there's no early signing period, which there's a mixed bag as to how people feel about an early signing period. There's not a cut and dried feeling by both coaches and recruits as to how they feel about an early signing period in college football. But college basketball has had the early signing period for decades. So coaches, for the most part, do know what they have and what they don't have by the time that they get to April 1st. I mean, college basketball, they have a much better handle than college football coaches have in terms of that part. In college football, you know, guys like Christian Hackenberg and Austin Johnson had to make the declarations right away after the Tax Slayer Bowl. And once they did, they were gone.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Greg Miskinis, by the way, Lewistown's own. He's been named the strength and conditioning coach at Penn State for basketball. Congratulations, former Nittany Lion tight end. Guy walked on at Penn State in football in the 2000s. Greg's a good football player. Good football player. He was not just a scout team guy. He worked himself up into, back then, Joe Paterno had the light blue green jerseys for second team guys. Greg worked himself up into a green jersey. So he's now the strength and conditioning coach for Penn State men's basketball. That was announced today. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A big sale going on, 4th of July coming up, too. Keep that in mind, some great deals. And with the 4th of July coming up, it is time to begin to stock up. It's going to be a three-day weekend. Weather's going to be nice this weekend. You want to make sure you have plenty of the right beverages on hand. Whether it happens to be imports, domestics, microbrews, did I mention beer? Water? Soft drinks. A lot of people love wine coolers. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Can't have enough of that at the party. And the pickle bar, second to none. It really is great. A wide variety of them. Now, I love the dill pickles and I love the barrels. Everyone has their own taste, but the pickle bar is great. All at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And your bozo of the day is with Dez Bryant.
Oh, this is too funny. Way too funny. So, here is the scoop with Dez Bryant. He is being sued by a state senator in Texas, Royce West. $60,000 in damages to a rental home. Court papers were filed last week. Attorneys called the treatment of the home negligent and abusive. 6,400 square foot home, according to paperwork. Littered with trash, missing blinds and shutters, cracked windows, blackened carpeting. After Dez Bryant moved out in January, lawyers say Bryant refused to accept responsibility for the damages, and they're seeking between $100,000 and $200,000 in damages. The office for Bryant's agents, no comment, hard to believe. Lease documents show Bryant was paying about $4,700 a month for the home in a gated community. Started renting there in September 2013. The lease required Bryant to keep the property clean and leave it in the same condition when he started renting it, except for normal wear and tear. But according to documents, there was irreparable damage to carpeting, flooring, windows, shutters, blinds, presence of animal feces, trash, debris, and personal property inside the residence, and distinct pervasive odors throughout during the walkthrough, according to the lawsuit. Because of the damage, they had to repaint the entire house, clean or replace all the flooring and carpeting, replace the home security system, replace doors and windows, and perform an extensive cleaning, repairs totaling over $60,000. Lawyers claim they contacted Bryant and his agent in April about the repairs, but they have not received a response. State senator has owned the home since 2009, according to property records, was part of an informal support group of prominent residents created to mentor Brian and keep him out of trouble. Of course, we remember all that going on after he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. So he was in the same group with Nate Newton and Michael Irvin.
Have you ever noticed that there appears to be a consistent pattern of newsworthy items with certain individuals?
It's ironic you said that. In 2014, there was a report on NFL.com. It revealed police were called to that specific home a number of times for matters ranging from a baby locked in a car to a stolen iPad. No charges were filed against Bryant, but Cowboys employees told the Dallas Morning News then that they were concerned about Bryant's living arrangements. One of the three said at one time up to 10 people were living in the home.
Well, another worthy nominee for Bozo of the Day.
I'm having a fun time finding Bozo of the Day nominees. That make me a bad person? Maybe they're just easy to find.
When Drew Kelly and I sat down to talk about certain benchmarks to start each half hour, I'm the one that brought up, hey, look, let's do this day in sports history. Let's do a play-by-play call of the day. And he goes, yeah, yeah, he was on board with that. And I mentioned, let's get the sports bozo of the day. And he said, really? He says, can you find enough of them? I said, Drew, we'll have to weed through them to come up with the best one.
You're right. Most days it's that way for sure.
there are multiple nominees every day. And if it turns out there's a day where the world is just happy and all roses, then there's a nominee that finished in second or third the other day we can bring back out.
Stockpile them.
He said, okay, I'm in. ended that conversation. He goes, okay, I hear you. You say so. I'm a believer. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. What do colleges, the NCAA has attempted to be more progressive. So let's football, basketball. Here's the problem I have is the lack of consistency the NCAA has with rules as it pertains to student athletes with a sport. For example, the baseball rules are different than the basketball rules in terms of eligibility. In baseball, you can hire a representative, and then you can opt to go back to school. But if you do it in football or basketball, whoa, we're done. That's it. We're done here. Okay? Hockey rules are different. Hockey rules are different. Penn State has had several players on the roster that are drafted. Okay? Drafted. Their draft rights are already there. For example, they already know, where they're headed when they're done, and they can do it at any time they want. They were drafted already. And that, in hockey, that happens all the time. And, I'll give you a prime example of somebody, for example, that now is with the New York Islanders, who was on the team this year, played a pivotal role, and that would be the goaltender, who this year, we all knew he, he was with the New York Islanders. Okay. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that, because that's the rule that hockey has. So what's, that's the equivalent of draft and stash. Well, he ended up being drafted and stashed at Penn State. And there was, Eamon McAdam. You have a guy, quality, a guy that's a good college player. And he signed, you know, he was drafted by the New York Islanders in the third round of the 2013 NHL entry draft, 70th overall pick in 2013. He played three seasons at Penn State, and then this year, after the season was over with, March 23rd, he signed his contract with the Islanders. Now, what's the difference between that and what football and basketball can do? Now, he decided to forego his final season of college eligibility to sign with the Islanders. He still had one more year to go. But Amon McAdam was drafted in 2013, third overall, third round, 70th overall pick in the NHL entry draft, and then played 3 years at Penn State. Okay. It already is being done. I mean, when Mark Appel, for example, went back to Stanford after being the ninth overall pick in the draft, the Pirates did have, up until the day before the next year's draft, to sign him. Now, he wasn't going to sign, but they could have signed him. Now, the Pirates didn't do a draft and stash. What happened with Amon McAdam is a draft and stash. But I think if I'm the NBA, I expand the draft to three rounds, and I allow draft and stash to take place. Give yourself a little more leeway. And even though it would not be beneficial to Penn State, a guy like Troy Williams, for example, who's been brought up on this show today several times because he's a prime example. I'm just using Troy as an example. He should be, to me, he wasn't picked. He should have the option saying, I'd like to go to Indiana and back to Indiana and play my senior season. I wasn't picked. What's wrong? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you have to think differently, a little bit outside the box these days. I think guys that aren't picked in the NFL draft should have the option of going back and playing college and finishing it out. I know some people will say, well, hey, you made the decision, you make your own mistakes. True. But there's a big difference between decisions made by 41-year-olds as opposed to 21-year-olds. And college football brings with it, because of the clock, makes college football different than college basketball. At least college basketball now has reverted back to the evaluation rules that I referred to with Taylor Battle earlier in the show. Remember, earlier in the show, I was talking about Taylor Battle. After his junior year, spring of 2010, he went to three NBA pre-draft camps, got a reasonable evaluation, which extended deep into it, and then opted to come back for his senior year at Penn State, and it benefited him. He found out what he was working on, that he should be working on. He also found out what he was doing right. It's more than just finding out what you need to do. It's also finding out what you're doing right. That part's never talked about. Then they pulled back on that, and then they went back, as Mike said, they should not be applauded for going back to something that's reasonable. And they actually did expand the time frame for evaluation. Now, for whatever reason, these guys are not pie-in-the-sky guys. They're not sitting there saying, hi, Troy, you're great. Yeah, oh, yeah, fabulous. Yeah, you should stay in the draft. These are NBA guys. They only want people that they think are going to be able to play for them. It's a profession. They're trying to make the team better. So they will bluntly now look at you and say, look, I don't think you're going to get picked earlier than 45. You may not get picked at all. And these are the reasons why. X, Y, and Z. They're blunt about it. And he decided not to listen to that and kept his name in the draft. Melo Trimble, as an example, pulled out of the draft. A lot of people thought the same thing. He'd be a 45 to 55 pick somewhere in there. He opted to go back for his junior year at Maryland. Fine. He'll be stronger, more mature, and it'll benefit him. But what do you do with college football? College football is different. Now, in basketball, the NBA Players Association, now to me, 2 years, 20 years of age should be the rule. It is not the NBA's fault that that is not the rule. The NBA would like to propose that rule. The NBA Players Association is the one that insists on the basic agreement being 1 year and 19 years of age. I like the fact that high school players can't just opt in. I like that very much. They can't opt in. All right? Because, look, they're not mature enough, and that's not good for the league. Yeah, occasionally you get a LeBron James. And remember, Kobe Bryant took 2 years. It wasn't until his third season that things kind of kicked into gear for him. Took forever for Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston's been really good the last 2 years. Really good. But he's on, what, his seventh or eighth different team now? He's kind of wandered through the wilderness to get to this point with Golden State. You know, early in his career, the game was going 110 miles an hour for him. And now the game travels at a nice 10 to 15 mile per hour pace. But for most of his career, early on, first 4 or 5 years, game felt like it was going 110 miles an hour to him. Now what to do with college football? Let's bring it back to that. The college football clock is different. College basketball season ends in March, right up until about that first week, right up until the first weekend of April. There is a late signing period, but most schools have already done their work by getting early signees. There are very few late signees. There are a couple of the big ones that hold out. Duke, for example, got a 5-star late because he just held out to took the process further. But the vast majority signed in the early signing period. Now you've got transfers. They're going to go from one place to the other. Okay, that happens. And then these guys decide to opt as to whether or not they're going to go to the NBA draft or not. Every single member of the Kentucky roster, with the exception of one player who there's a reason he couldn't. Well, I think the reason he couldn't was because he was not going to turn 19. That was the reason. Opted to go through the NBA workouts. John Calipari encouraged it. Good. In the end, Jamal Murray and Scott Labissiere went. Okay. Now let's get to college football. The clock is different. Bowl game. Must declare within 5 days after the national championship game. So there you're sitting there like January 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that neighborhood where you have to declare. Well, at that point, the evaluation period begins with the bowl games, but like Senior Bowl and other All-Star games. But you cannot, once you declare, you can't go to one of those games, get your evaluation, and then come back and say, you know what, I think I'm going to stay. That door isn't open, and that door should be open. And then the next part is the signing period is the first Wednesday in February. There is no early signing period. So coaches want to know exactly what numbers do I have to work with. Austin Johnson and Christian Hackenberg both opted for the NFL draft. Thus, James Franklin and his staff knew they had two more spots. Then the combine's 3 weeks after that. So college football's clock doesn't have the wiggle room and ease that the college basketball clock has, and it's something that has to be thought of because there are too many guys that opted for the NFL draft and ended up not getting drafted. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Summer 2016 is officially here, and Sunbury Motors Kia is making it worry-free. A brand new Kia this summer, worry-free, with no payments due until November. It's the Summers on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Now that summer is officially here, buy a new in-stock 2016 Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte, and Soul, and pay nothing for the summer. With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due. That's November. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride with no payments to make. And you also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. Summer's officially here, but the Summers on Us sales event will only be around until the July 4th holiday. So you have to hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Tax extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers through KMS. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda,
fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Yeah, I know young people make mistakes. Wait a minute. Everybody makes mistakes. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on players, not just for themselves to get to the next level, but I think we all know that they've got families around them that are really hoping and counting that they get there. I think the NBA's done a better job with the and the NCAA loosening up the evaluation rules so everybody gets a better read than before. College football needs to figure out a way for them to get a better read than before. You know, they should. So they can make at least get more information, make a better decision. You know, if they want to send them to an all-star game and turn it into a full combine week with people so they can get a, and then change the declaration day to making it the last, to making it, I don't know, January 30th, for example. Now, I realize that National Letterman Intent Day is the first Wednesday in February. Well, then take National Letterman Intent Day, move it back to the second Wednesday in February. Okay? The player opts to go through the process in the month of January. That's an underclassman. And then elects to come back, they can come back. Take the National Letter of Intent Day, maybe move it back to the second Wednesday in February. And everybody must declare one way or the other by January 30th what they're doing as to whether or not they want to continue with the process or whether they want to go back to school. And take National Letter of Intent Day, move it back to the second Wednesday in February. That way you get a better evaluation and you don't have so many college football players left in the cold when the draft's over.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.